This is the Bonneville Up to Speed podcast. It's a podcast about all things land speed racing, ranging from vintage small displacement motorcycles all the way up to high-tech, cutting-edge streamliners and everything in between. I'm Kevin Oostie, and this was supposed to be a very special episode about Speed Week, which, as of a few minutes ago, has just gotten canceled because of rain. However, that doesn't mean the story's end. I'm joined by our friend Grant Potter and Dave Kelly, who are suffering the consequences of having this trip cut short because you gentlemen have come all the way from the other side of the world. Grant, what's going on?
Well, we've been coming up for quite a few years now and got hijacked by COVID for a couple of years. So the first opportunity we had, we decided we'd come back, and it looked like it was reasonably safe to do so. So that's what we did. So made plans a few months ago to fly from New Zealand up to Salt Lake City, basically, and come out of Salt Lake City and over to Bonneville. So
you didn't go to L.A., you went straight to Salt Lake? Or?
We went straight to Salt Lake, yeah. Over the years, I've been coming since 2008, Dave's been coming since 2010, and we've done all sorts of variations of the trip, flying into L.A., road trip, Las Vegas, up here. We've been, trips where we've gone to Sturgis and then come to Bonneville, all sorts of variations, but... once you've done those things, the shortest possible route is the option that we go for these days. So fly from Auckland to Salt Lake City and, then come out here from Salt Lake City.
Wow, that's a heck of a journey. So, Dave, what's the attraction? You guys both gearheads back in New Zealand, you racers yourselves. What's going on?
I'm certainly not a racer. But Grant's a motor builder, so he's been building a motor. We've been taking a bit of interest in that. And, it's just the event, just the people and the event, men making things go faster. And I suppose the first time I came, I was just surprised how cooperative everybody was and how open everybody was with things. I sort of had an expectation that it would be closed pits and secret squirrel stuff, but no, it's just a great event.
You know, you hit the nail on the head. This land speed racing community, they're kind of on their own. You know, this isn't sponsored by Budweiser, and there's not, a lot of funds involved. So this is people that are very passionate about doing it, and they're also they're also willing to help each other. And the old joke is, if you stand around in somebody's pits too long, they're going to put a wrench in your hand. So, Grant, what type of engines do you normally build?
I've got a hot rod back home with a flathead in it, and I'm working on a flathead engine to see just what I can do with that, with the... if the engine does good, then we'll be looking at some way of coming up here and racing that.
Oh, right on. So, is this a street-driven car, or more of a race car?
A race car, yeah.
And you've got some opportunities to do this kind of stuff in New Zealand.
No. There is land speed racing in New Zealand on a piece of road that they close off for a day. But, nothing like this. And the closest place to Bonneville Salt Flats is Lake Gairdner in Australia. But the proximity of the hotels and being able to go back to an air-conditioned room after you've been out on the Salt Flats, that doesn't exist at Lake Gairdner. You're camping, and I can't remember what the drive is, but outback roads for multiple hours before you get there, and then you're camping when you get there, basically.
Yeah, we're kind of spoiled by this because, as we stand here at the Copper Kettle restaurant in Wendover, we're 10 minutes from the actual race course. And part of the fun of this event is coming back to Wendover afterwards and going to the car show event at the Nugget and hanging out with friends and everything else, where it sounds like in Australia it's a little more remote.
It is a little bit more remote. I like to say, what Dave said about the place, We've made good friends here, people that we meet up with every year. One of them's been overtaken by illness, so he's not here this year, which is pretty sad for us. We'd been meeting up for Many years now, you know. So, and that used to be really cool. You know, they'd have an RV and they'd have big coffee and breakfast out on the salt flats, and they, you know, they share that with us. And you know, you camp next to those people, make really good friendships, you know. But the whole event, you know, I believe that it's like the last amateur motorsport event in the world, pretty much of its scale, I guess, you know. So,
I think you're right. There are certainly amateur and other non-professional types of racing, but nothing that is, you know, setting the records or has the tradition and the history that this does, or the spirit of innovation, and especially the variety, you know, from the small motorcycles to stuff that's pushing 500. Do you have any hot rods, Dave?
I've got an old Holden, 1970 Holden Brougham, which is sort of a GM for the Americans here. Well, the 307, it's just a street car, but it's a work in progress like everybody else's is, yeah.
Yeah, they're never finished. So this year, the salt looked really good, and then all of a sudden it rained a couple days, and you mentioned camping here. I feel bad for the people in the tents at the bend of the road and some of the RVs that are up to their axles and sinking mud. But once again, they're all helping each other literally to get out at this point. Is there any, when it comes to the racing, is there any particular class that's more interesting to you, or do you have friends that are racing here that you help support?
No particular cars that we support, but I guess the ultimate, you know, the Streamliner classes and the Lakester classes are what really appeal to me, you know, that the ability for people to take a set of rules and then apply those set of rules as best that they can to do, you know, the best that they can.
And maybe read between the lines a little bit.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, they're all pretty legit, you know, those from what I can see anyway. But, I think, you know, Formula Racing, whatever type, NASCAR or Formula One or, you know, rule-driven class here is basically a formula car, in my opinion anyway. And, you know, it's really neat to see people doing that stuff, eh, you know.
I think
you might have to read between the lines here, not so much.
Well, you know, the interesting thing here is that, Dave, you had mentioned that there was a perception that this was kind of a closed secret society of you know, people that know the code word to get in. I think some of that comes from the fact that the safety is so serious. Safety is number one. And you hear stories about people who try to come out here and they bring a car and they get kicked out because they can't pass the safety tech. And then all of a sudden they think that it was because of a clique or a boys club or something. And in reality, no, this is purely about the safety of the racer. And very few organizations go to the great lengths that these people do. Because when you look at it, you don't know what the guy's going to bring. There's no, you know, there's a rule book, but it's not like in NASCAR where all the cars are the same, or Formula One where they got those stringent standards. So it is interesting that, you know, you had that perception of this being that kind of secret society. I did too until the first time I came out and someone's like, here, give me a hand with this. And it's like, right on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
the thing about that is, you know, you can stand right next to a 400 mile an hour car here. You know, you try and get close to a NASCAR car or a Formula One car, you're not dog show and hell. So it's, it's pretty impressive stuff, eh? Yeah. And people do, they welcome you into the pitch, you wander around, you poke your nose and poke your camera, and nobody knocks your back over those things. It's a really, you know, friendly and, yeah, an inclusive sort of atmosphere out there, you know.
So we were chatting before, you know, the three of us had met back at my hotel, and I was checking out early because I'm going to catch a flight today because, you know, the event got cut short. And we were thinking, oh man, these people that have come from other parts of the world really are kind of getting the short end of the stick here, because we all know it's not cheap or easy to get here. But it sounds like you guys are going to make the best of it, and you got kind of a plan B.
Yeah, we do. You know, there's a cancellation option maybe, but we were just talking at breakfast about having to go through the drama of calling up the insurance company and saying, what's the deal with the cancellation clauses in the contract, you know, and then having to go through all that drama and whatnot. So, Yeah, rather than go through the angst of having to do that, we decided that we'll head off to Sturgis. Sturgis is still on. So we'll take a couple of days to drive there and spend a few days there and drive a couple of days back because we're flying out of Salt Lake City. And in the scheme of things, that'll probably be the least drama for us in terms of getting back home.
For sure, and that'll be a fun event. You alluded that you guys have done there before.
Yeah, we've normally went for the double, but this time with COVID and obviously clash of dates this time as well, we opted for our premium event, but got kiboshed. So yeah, Sturgis, here we come.
There you go. So moving more towards the enthusiast side, you're working on your hot rods back in New Zealand. What's that situation like these days? We're always struggling for parts here right now, and everything's on back order and everything else. You guys live in a more different world than we do.
Parts supply doesn't seem to be so bad. My hot rod is kind of a bespoke piece, so most of the stuff I've made in my machine shop and you know, there's bits and pieces I buy, but I haven't seen any big dramas. A lot of longer waits for things like connecting rods and crankshafts and things like that, custom pieces out of the US. But people are still taking orders and just say it's going to be, you know, 12 weeks or 16 weeks. So we are in the engine project I'm working on. I've got plenty of other things to do on that project before I need those pieces. Yeah.
Certainly makes you think about prioritizing your time.
Absolutely, yeah. A bit of planning about, you know, what are you going to do, when you're going to do this, but when you're going to do the next bit, etc. Yeah.
So you mentioned it's a flathead. What's the car it's in?
My hot rod. Yeah. It's a 34 Ford Coupe, fiberglass. Yeah.
California kid style.
It's not a retro deal. It's kind of interesting, probably.
Coming together of two cultures, really. It's injected. It's got quad turbo and Grant will fill the rest of the details on, but he's a bit modest. It's a beast to behold. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm gathering from this gentleman here. So a quad turbo boosted flathead.
Yeah. So the thought behind it was applying modern technology to their old flathead engine. I guess I have some particular views about, you know, what hot rodding used to be about in the day, and that the guys way back they were stealing bits off Italian cars and all sorts of stuff to improve the performance of their vehicles. And you know, I'm not knocking any other forms, you know, because I like to go and see the cars at the Nugget and cars at hot rod shows, but this is my deal, and that's what hot rodding's about. It's about your deal, what you want to do, you know.
100%. What's interesting to me is I attend all kinds of different events, from things like this to I do some work at the SEMA show and everything in between. And I'm with you that the spirit of hot rodding is take whatever you got with whatever you can and make it go faster or perform better or look cooler. And I'm always intrigued by the people that are like dead against the LS engine. You know, you get this resistance. Oh, get that junk out of there. Well, wait a minute. If that engine was available in 1955, it would be in every jalopy hot rod there was back then, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's quite possible. Yeah. People have got a bit more, well, some people, not all people, some people have got a bit closed-minded about some of that stuff. I got kicked off one of the forums. No IFS, no turbos, no fuel injection on this forum. Delete your post.
Well, I mean, everything does have its place. You're not going to put a modern LS engine in a numbers matching LS 670 Chevelle, for example. That just wouldn't make sense. What's the injection system you're using? What EFI?
It's a Mega Squirt, MS3 with the extension board, and I can't roll those numbers off. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's my age thing, I think. Yeah, it's not a kit set thing. It's just I bought the Mega Squirt. It's got an electronically controlled transmission, so it's a micro squirt controller talking to the Mega Squirt for the transmission. And turbos are off a 1G GTE Toyota Supra, so they came out with twin turbos. So I've got, you know, two sets of those, and then I've got the bits off a 2JZ Supra, which had sequential turbos. So I used the sequential turbos and adapted the 1G turbos to that sequential turbo setup. So
that's going to be a... I'm just trying to envision the layout here because you don't have a whole lot of room in the nose of a 34.
The nose is a little bit longer than normal. but it's I worked at about 6 inches longer. Because at one stage... So rules in New Zealand are, quite tough. To get a car on the road, you have to have it certified. So there are some what they call low-volume vehicle certifiers. So they check over the engineering of the car, make sure you've got all the things that you have to do. Then you've got to pass another sort of roadworthiness test to go on the road. And my car's fenderless, so I have to have a fender exemption to allow me to drive it on the road. And that fender exemption's now includes bonnets, just because people were running around, regular cars were running around with no bonnets, and they found they didn't have a rule to stop them from doing that, and it affects the safety of the, if they run into somebody, I guess. So, yeah. So I get that, and I appreciate the fact that I can, I might have to go through a bit of drama, but I can drive my fenderless coupe on the road, fully road legal, and with the fender exemption.
We complain here about the restrictions and regulations, and it's nothing compared to what you guys have. I think I have a file that the New Zealand government put out. Wasn't there like a hot rod guide of certain things that you could do with a Mustang 2 front end or a Jaguar rear and things like that?
Yeah, there are what the hell do they call them? It's like a code of practice, basically. Do a great big book with all... This is what your suspension must be like. This is what your steering system must be like. This is how close a steering component can come to a exhaust pipe. This is how close a fuel line can come to an exhaust pipe.
And actually, it's a great resource.
Yeah, it is. It's extensive. And sometimes you think, but, I managed to get through.
So in my day job, we own a hot rod restoration performance shop, and I remember about 10 years ago talking with a potential customer in New Zealand who had sent me that, saying, if you guys build anything, it's got to comply with this stuff. That's what they're going to look for. I started paging through that, and that became kind of a resource in our own shop, just as a guide, because that distance between the fuel line and exhaust is important. And how many cars you see, maybe not here at SETA certified events, but just driving around the street where it's like, I wouldn't get in that.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously look at hot rods here through that lens, and sometimes you go, oh my God, you don't hear that many accidents occurring or anything like that. Well, we don't anyway. So.
Well, no, and it's good that we have the freedom to do a whole bunch of that stuff. Your Holden, Dave, is this an original car? Is it stock? Have we done some things to it along the way?
It's just pretty original. It's just got a set of wheels on it and a set of headers. And it's old school. It's what I used to misbehave in 50 years ago. Just revisiting my youth. Yeah.
That's cool. So you're able to find one similar. It's not the same car that you had.
No, not the same car. I'm not sure that survived. It's similar. Yeah.
We all seem to be chasing that first car that we had at some point. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate the time, and thank you for sharing your insights. And it sounds like you're going to make the best of this shortened trip. In addition to heading up to Sturgis, is there any other detours or any other thoughts you're going to go see in the great west of the USA?
Maybe we'll see some stuff along the way. I don't know. But not at the moment, no.
We're open to suggestions. We're open to suggestions.
Well, I don't know if you've been to Dave Kindig's shop outside of Salt Lake City. That might be interesting to go see. Kindig at Design. Yeah. They do tours. I think you have to schedule it. So today's, as we record this on a Sunday, probably can't do that, but maybe tomorrow, look that one up. But it's always fun to just kind of get off the road. Now, the difference, though, is that where you live, you got a lot of open space that you're kind of used to anyway between cities. So driving around in the wide open desert of the south or the west might not be that interesting.
It is. It's just, it is really interesting. Those road trips that we did early days, Yeah, we're pretty damn neat. Yeah, yeah.
I love it. All right, my friends. Dave, thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And we appreciate you joining us. Take care. The Bonneville Up to Speed podcast is produced with the AOK of the SCTA, the Southern California Timing Association. And if you're interested in this kind of stuff, you can subscribe. You'll find our podcast where all podcasts are found. And we appreciate you supporting the SCTA. You can go to the SCTA-BNI website for the latest info there. And for our friends Grant and Dave, I'm Kevin Oste, and now you are up to speed.